This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Tuesday. And happy anniversary. Because it was 5 years ago today, Jeffrey. 5 years ago today. Today we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday, right?
Indeed.
Earlier, we had just Fish on Friday, once upon a time. A previous rendition of this was Fish on Friday. But before Fish on Friday on Tuesday.
And we're also in Fish on Friday season.
And that's true. Before Fish on Friday on Tuesday, and before Fish on Friday, which, okay, maybe we stole from Lent, but whatever. Before Fish on Friday, there was just Fish. And it was my friend Charles Fishman would join us on the radio show and talk to us. And his first appearance on this radio show was 5 years ago today. Did I know that? No, he told me because he keeps track of things and I don't. But it was 5 years ago today, and which is kind of interesting because I've been on radio in Memphis for, well, I don't know. I mean, I've been here for practically 30 years. Next year will be 30 years. I've been here 29 years. And I probably started in radio after about nine. You know, it took me about 9 years to get over being a total stranger, newcomer, interloper, whatever else, right? People started to accept me.
Well,
after
I know
about
this.
9 years.
So, what years? We know that you were doing radio during the New Orleans Bowl, which was what?
I did do three. Right. I did do it during the New Orleans Bowl because I was hungover and was late, late to join George in the lobby of the. Of the New Orleans Bowl.
So you've done at least 22 years.
So, okay, so that means I did it 17 years without Fishman ever, not once on the radio. Why? Because why would I have a guy who lives in Washington, D.C.? At the time, he's lived before that. He was in Mexico City.
I was saying, he might have been in Mexico at that
point,
right?
And in Philadelphia before that, and in Raleigh before that, and in whatever. But he lived somewhere that was not Memphis. And so he had nothing particular to offer about Memphis and nothing particular to offer about Memphis sports because he didn't follow sports. So, really, in any meaningful way. So, why would I have him on? But 5 years ago, you may dimly remember this, people, we had a pandemic and sports just completely went away. So, I'm thinking to myself, well, what are we going to do now? And we did stuff. We did stuff. Actually, our ratings went up, Jeffrey, I think, during that period. So we did stuff, but one of the things we did, we started having Fishman on, and then, we decided to make it a thing. And so that was 5 years ago. So happy anniversary, to all of us. It's Fish on Friday on Tuesday, and he will join us, in the second hour, Chris Harrington, straight up at 10 o'clock. That is the lineup For today, we also have it's opening day in baseball, Jeffrey.
Is this, surprise.
We done? We done? Is it over? Is it over?
I didn't know if it was this morning or if it was.
No, it started. The Dodgers were, the Dodgers were beating the Cubs last I looked. So you can confirm there what the what happened.
Nice job, baseball. Yeah, it's final 4-1.
Yeah. So that is too bad. Like, you follow baseball. You're a baseball guy. You follow baseball much more than I follow baseball.
Yes.
Although I was a former major league beat writer. And here it is, utterly unaware that it's opening day. But it is opening day. And also, opening day of the NCAA tournament, North Carolina plays.
Tomorrow.
That's tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, that's they play the winner of the – their winner plays Ole Miss, and they play on Friday.
And they play on Friday. That's right. So who's tonight?
Tonight is Xavier and Texas, and then Alabama State
and St. Francis. Yeah. Right. Okay. The NCAA – we do have games in Dayton.
Correct.
Tonight. And we will talk about the Tigers in the NCAA tournament. Penny Hardaway is talking today, roughly around noon, over at the Laurie Walton Center. So I'll pop over for that after the show. And I'm sure Jason and John will keep you apprised of whatever he has to say. We do also have a new Mel Kiper mock draft. Jeffrey, have you taken a look? It's got some. Got some twists and turns.
Jeff,
in it.
It was right there on ESPN.
It was right there.
I didn't want to, but I had to.
Walked in here, listened to they pump the radio feed through the hallways. So as you walk in, I'm listening to Unsportsmanlike, and here we are. What is this? This is the greatest sports weekend of the year.
Yes,
when everyone's focused.
As Jeff has always said,
on college basketball, and what are they talking about? The quarterback carousel and why it is ground to a halt.
Yep.
So, there's one thing that rules in America, and it is football. But it is basketball week, and obviously we'll be talking about the tournament. But we will of course make room to talk about Mel Kiper's latest mock draft. I did want to be well. I don't really want. I felt compelled to begin with the news. From the Memphis Grizzlies, which is not particularly sunny right now. I think we can say that, can't we, Jeffrey?
It seems more than fair.
Because when you consult your handy-dandy standings in the West, I got a little bit of a cold, people. You're going to have to bear with me.
That time of the year.
Oklahoma City, number one, with a 12.5 game lead.
Yes.
But then the Grizzlies will be, they've been there. They've been two or whatever all year long, two or three or something. So let's see who's next. Oh, Houston's next. Damn, those Rockets. They won last night.
Yeah.
Came back from 25 down.
I think Dylan got ejected. I think they had a brawl again. Like, they have a brand.
Came back from 25 down to beat the Sixers. Well.
Man, the Sixers are committed to the cause.
Okay, so Houston's ahead of the Oklahoma City's ahead of the Grizzlies. And Houston's ahead of the Grizzlies. Let's see. Oh, there's Denver. Denver. Damn him. Damn them. Also won again. Without Jokic or Murray, by the way, beat Golden State last night. Damn them! So Denver's there. They're tied with the Rockets. And let's see. Okay, well, who's next? Holy smokes! It's the Lakers. The Lakers are next. They won without LeBron. They beat the Spurs last night. So they are fourth. That's first, second, third, fourth. Grizzlies in fifth place. Grizzlies have fallen to fifth in the West.
In a tie.
In a tie, they are percentage points behind the Lakers. The Lakers are 42-25 for a .627 winning percentage. The Grizzlies are 43-26. They've got one more win and one more loss for a .623 winning percentage. So, were the season to end today, Jeffrey?
Yes.
The Grizzlies would open up their playoffs on the road.
Indeed.
I'm going to ask you this. It feels like that's as far as they can fall, right?
To me, yeah. Yes.
But. Now, Golden State has been on a tear. They lost last night, and Steve Kerr said he's going to have to give Steph some rest. So that's promising. But that's 3.5 games. Have you consulted what the Grizzlies have in front of them? They've got a road trip after Portland. And I'm not saying it's must win, but I think it's must win. Because on this road trip, they also have the Clippers and the Thunder. As we know, they have not won
in California
all year long. They're now 0-7 after last night. We'll talk about last night in a bit. And they're not competitive with the Thunder, right? They come back and they play the Lakers, the Celts, and the Warriors.
Yeah.
But I swear to God.
3.5 games in 13 is.
That could be 3.5 games right there. That could be literally 5 losses right there.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they could easily beat Portland. They could win at Utah. And so then you also have a home game against the Warriors.
I don't think that it is likely that the Warriors catch him and Minnesota catches him. I'll say this, it's not beyond the realm of possibility.
Well, fortunately, there are math people that do this, so let's tell you what the probabilities would be.
Oh, that's good. Do we have literally the probabilities?
Yes, this I cite basketballreference.com.
Okay.
The Grizzlies currently to fall to 6 have a 7.5% chance.
That's beyond the realm of possibility. Yeah, what is the most probable? 5th?
The most likely spot right now, according to Basketball Reference, is 4th at 31.1. The second most likely is 3rd at 21.5. Then 5th. I'm sorry. 4th at 31.1 is the most likely. 3rd at 21.5% is the second most likely. And 5th at 20.5% is the.
Okay. Let's go to 6th. And just for fun, just to look at the peril straight in the face, 7th. 2%, into the play-in.
2%.
2% chance in the correct play-in, 7.5% chance in 6th.
Correct. So they have a 96.7% chance of being 1 through 6, and then a 3.3% chance of being in the play-in. That's basically the odds of that asteroid hitting us.
No, I'm not worried particularly about the play-in, and I'm really not worried about the 6th, but this is not particularly promising right now. And you got a Portland team that has been feistier of late who you play next. And, of course, I'm a prisoner of the moment. And that was just, it was everything that has ailed this team all wrapped up in one night. It felt like to me. Because first you have injuries, right?
Yep.
So injuries have been a huge theme this season. And so we got no Ja. And then just for fun, you got no Scottie Pippen. So you don't have a true point guard.
Correct.
Right? And then you got no Santi.
Yep.
And then just for fun, you got Jaren having foul trouble.
Yep.
Right? So both your power forwards thinned out by injury and foul trouble. And your point guard's totally thinned out. So there you have that. We've got that. We've got the injury issue. Then we have the turnovers have been a theme, haven't they, Jeffrey?
Indeed, they have, Joe.
Turnovers been a theme.
I got 18 of them for
another
you.
Another 18 turnovers last night. Give up. It felt like they did 37-point first quarter. And just preposterous turnovers for this team, which, again, have been a... I expected there was going to be a new offense. I didn't know, honestly, the turnovers would be so prominently featured in the new offense when they installed it this summer.
As I've told you, with the Tigers cleaning up their turnover issues, right, there must be turnover problems in the city. So when the Tigers start taking care of the ball, that means the Grizzlies
have to. It's funny, though, because you say that. Well, maybe it's also true of free throw problems in the city. Because, like, the Grizzlies were impeccable. Perfect from the line last night. It's actually the one thing that sort of kept them hanging around.
Yep.
Is they were perfect from the line. And,
well, Tez getting 44.
And Sacramento quarter. Just kept missing them. Yep. So, like, that was a help. But anyway, so we've got the injury issues. And again, injury issues not at all exclusive to the Grizzlies. Just look last night. The Nuggets won without Jokic and without Murray, and the Lakers won without LeBron.
Yep.
They're not the only people who have injury issues, but very clearly, injury issues a problem. Turnovers a problem. Oh, here's another one. Three-point defense. That's been a signature, hasn't it? And so they give up freaking 23-pointers last night. They're outscored by 21 from 3. The Kings, 20 of 41 from 3. And so you got that nice cocktail of lousy three-point defense, lots of turnovers, injuries, and sadly, it was enough to overcome Desmond Bane's just brilliant night. 44 for Dez, 20 points in the third. He was 7 of 7 from 3, including one from, you know, what's a suburb of Sacramento, you know? And I'm not familiar with the suburban.
South Vernon is way north.
One from Tahoe.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. And so we got what we got, which is a loss, 132-120.
Roseville, that's one. I know people from Roseville.
Roseville.
Oh, here's another one. Folsom. Isn't that where Josh is from?
Folsom? He's from Fireball.
Yeah, someone famous is from Folsom.
Anyway. Folsom Prison. And, oh, wait. What is the... What's the Kings record right now?
The Kings record currently is 34-33.
Yeah. And so I don't know if this would count precisely, but we also have...
Another loss against the team above 500?
Exactly! Yep. Another loss above... In fact, I was reading Drew Hill's piece today.
It's Grizzlies bingo day.
The last time the Grizzlies beat a team with a winning record... What's today?
Today's March 18th.
18th, because yesterday was the 17th. That's how it works. So do you think it was in March?
No.
They have not beaten a team. We're well halfway through March.
They put some really bad teams in March.
When do you think the last time? Have you have it in your head anywhere where they last win against a team with a winning record?
Who's the last decent win they had? I mean, honestly.
It's a long, long time ago. It's February 2nd against Milwaukee.
Yeah.
February 2nd is the last time. Now, they've played bad teams. They've played a lot of teams without winning records, but that's pretty pathetic. They have not beaten a team with a winning record since February 2nd in Milwaukee. Since January 1, of course, according to Drew Hill, again, they've won 4 games against teams with winning records. 2 of them were against Minnesota. So I found it to be, and then you look up and you see all the teams that you are competing against doing what they were doing last night, some with equally or worse injury issues than the Grizzlies had, and you're like, oh, damn. That's why I start reaching for worst-case scenarios. That's why my mind took that bleak turn, Jeffrey. But I've thought about what went wrong. And last night, you know what wing was good?
Jake LaRavia!
Our old friend Jake LaRavia was good. 12 points, 4 of 7, 2 of 4 from 3, couple of rebounds, gets a dunk, stares down the bench. The Jake LaRavia game, revenge game.
Got a tech.
It was salt in the wound is what it was. It was salt in the wound because you look at the Grizzlies by contrast and you say, okay, well, we know that they knew that Jake wasn't going to be able to find room. They weren't going to be able to find room to play Jake, right? Because he's behind all these other wings. Let's check out one of the wings he was behind. Vince Williams, 17 minutes, 0 of 3 from 3, 2 points. Which is better, Jeffrey? And this isn't all what basketball is about. But Jake LaRavia, 12 points, 4 of 7, 2 of 4 from 3. Vince Williams, 2 points, 0 of 3, 0 of 3. Which is better there?
The former.
I think Jake's is better. Exactly. And then you go...
I'd like to be clear, though. I would have bet on Vince Williams over Jake as well.
Oh, no, I would have, too. I'm not saying...
But we could be wrong. That's the other thing. I do acknowledge I could be wrong.
You also could extend him and then figure out what to do with the contract.
Yeah.
You didn't have to move on from him. It was clearly a mistake. It was a mistake. But what's interesting is the big three, we've had the injury issues with Ja, okay? One of the real grisly problems is a year ago, This may be the biggest Grizzly, apart from Ja's whatever, like the Ja's injury slash mindset, where that is, right? That seems to be the biggest determinant of everything with the Grizzlies. But beyond that, a year ago, we were looking up and we said, you know what? The long search for wings is over. They've got riches, baby. They got riches. They got Marcus Smart. They got Vince Williams. They got Gigi Jackson. And they got Jake LaRavia. Like, who are they even? They're not even going to find minutes for Jake LaRavia to play. How are they going to fit Jake LaRavia in here? We're not going to pick up his deal because he ranks behind everybody. And you look around, and what has happened? Marcus Smart crapped out. They literally thought so little of Marcus Smart that they gave up a first to ship him off, having given up two firsts to bring him in. That's how much they disliked Marcus Smart.
And they sent him to Washington.
Then you got Vince Williams, injury. And listen, I think it's very possible that over the long haul, Vince Williams will turn out to be the better basketball player to Jake LaRavia. Just because that didn't look that way last night, that does not mean that's over. I do think the injuries are a big part of it. But his inability to be the Vince Williams that people thought, expected, wanted him to be, huge part of what's gone wrong this year, right?
Yep.
So, no Marcus Smart, Vince Williams ineffective. Let me see if I see what did Gigi do to... Oh, Gigi's in the G League. And suitably so, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they finally realized, not realized, they've realized all along.
Yeah, I don't know if the internet, there was like a corner of the internet that did.
The Grizzlies knew it. The Grizzlies very clearly were playing him and giving him minutes in the hopes that he would develop and improve as a team basketball player, as a defensive basketball player. We talked about this last year when he was putting up numbers. We're like, the challenge for Gigi Jackson is going to be to come back and see how he can perform in a supporting role.
And right? In games where other teams
games
take
that matter
seriously.
And in a supporting role. And how's that adjustment going to be? Then he gets injured. And that, again, for both Vince and Gigi, it's not just, by the way, I'm not saying the Grizzlies looked at these players and analyzed them all wrong. Injuries impacted what Vince's year has been, and injuries had a massive impact on what Gigi's year has been. What would this have looked like had Gigi had the full year, the training camp, everything else? Could we be having a different experience with him? But now they very clearly are sending him to the hustle to get playing time. It'll be interesting, though, because when you're in the hustle, you're back in the leading role.
Yep.
Like, so are you learning to play as a supporting player, which is part of the challenge, when you're playing for the hustle and you're now the lead guy again?
Yep.
I think it's a tricky thing to know how best to bring Gigi along. But there you go. You got Marcus Smart, crapper, Gigi, crapper, Vince Williams, crapper, and then you moved on from Jake LaRavia. So what do you got? It's really, the truth of the matter is that around their three stars, my God, thank God they hit on Jalen Wells, a second-round pick. And then you got two rookies.
But Jalen Wells shouldn't be playing like he is.
No, you shouldn't be. Okay, this goes to my about. So the wings, which we thought were going to be a strength, have become a massive weakness, right? On this team. And then the other thing is, I think if we're being completely honest, Jeffrey, I think you have to say that if you look up over the last three off seasons, we give this front office immense credit, which it deserves for the way it is drafted, okay? But if you look over the last three off seasons, the way they have built around, like, the last three off seasons, they had Ja, they had Dez, they had Jaren. They knew that, right?
Yes.
So how are you going to build around them, right? What are you going to do to put pieces around them? Well, 2022, what they did was they let Kyle go, D'Anthony Melton go, and they traded for Roddy. I mean, they drafted
Roddy and LaRavia
and Vince.
Yep,
right. Roddy, whiff, Laravia. In the end, it wasn't a total whiff, but when you...
You moved
basically
on.
Basically a whiff. Yeah, you whiff. And...
You could have kept... You had the opportunity to keep. You chose not to.
And Vince will hope, but like... That's an offseason that they apologized for, basically. They said, we shouldn't have gone so young, right? That was a mistake. Chris Harrington said it when it was happening, and Zach said it at the end of the year.
Yep.
So then the next year, what do they do to be putting pieces around the three stars?
Marcus.
They let Dylan walk.
Yep.
And they add Marcus, D. Rose, and then they draft Gigi. Whiff.
Yeah.
I mean, no one expected D. Rose. He was only going to be supposed to be here 2 years, but D. Rose whiff, Marcus Smart. I mean, maybe D. Rose had an impact on Ja, whatever. That's maybe that part of it. But and then Gigi, well, here we are 2 years later. He's not helping you. I'm not saying it's a whiff, but again, that's a second-round pick. But again, what did they bring in that summer that's doing good? How did they build around their stars? They didn't.
No.
The big swing was a big whiff. And then this past offseason / trade deadline, they drafted two rookies who are both very, like, credible.
Yeah.
Like, credible rookies. Good job. They did nothing else.
Well, they added Jay Hoff.
Yeah, bit pieces, right?
Yeah.
And then they did not extend Jake. Whiff. Mistake.
And they sold at the deadline.
So you look up. And the only things that you've really – for three years ago, you had that core. You had those three guys. And you also had Brandon Clark. So what have you added? You added a couple of rookies this year. And then, like, they've crapped – that's – if you're asking me what's the difference between Oklahoma City and Cleveland and the Grizzlies, it's the last three off seasons.
I think that's fair. I also think, like, the offshoot of that is I don't think the Grizzlies, in their assessment, I don't think they value defense enough.
Well, I mean, they do. That Marcus Smart was defense. Vince Williams was defense. I don't think they value defense. I mean, Dylan, they let him walk, not because they didn't value defense, because the disruption was
I'm not gonna be a revisionist history guy. Like,
no, they had to move on from
and
Dylan.
And financially everything.
And also, like, he got a massive deal. Like, yeah. It would have made it. I'm not. But in the end, they have not done a good job of putting pieces around their three stars. They just haven't.
No, I agree.
And some of it, of course, is you can look up and you can say. This is all because of injury. It's not just the injury to Ja. It's the injury to the pieces that they expected to be putting around the three stars. I'm not going to buy that Marcus Smart. Like, there you should, like, people said at the time, is he cooked? Is he injured?
Yeah.
Are you going to get Marcus Smart? If so, the fact that he turned out the way he did, that's on you.
Yeah.
The you can look up and you could say that Vince and Gigi a year from now could be what you wanted them, you know, what you envisioned.
I mean, Gigi's 20 years old.
Yes. And so that has been impacted by injury. It's kind of amazing, though. The last three off seasons, they had not only their three stars, they had Brandon and they had Santi. Already had Santi. So, like, really all they've added is two rookies.
Of significance.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Scottie Pippen's a perfectly feisty little player, and Jay Huffkin hits you threes, but these aren't real players on real
playoff
teams.
Those were not additions that you made of, this is what we're gunning for in the playoffs.
And you've given away, you know, multiple first-round picks in order to take these swings. They've taken swings. They've just missed. And so that's where you are. And so whatever, like, they can still... They could still finish second.
They're a game out.
But there's no question. My gloom overcame me last night watching some of the same stuff come up again and again and again. But I do think I mean, the, you know, watching it, and obviously it's the wing issue, and what has happened with those wings. None have come through in the way that you wanted, and that also partly explains why you're looking at really three off seasons of not doing a particularly effective job of augmenting your core.
I think the other big problem is when you watch them, and they don't have Ja, and because even like Scotty's been good. And I don't want to discredit it, but it's not – Scotty's not like a natural point guard. But it's like when Ja's not on the floor, it just looks so unorganized, disjointed, sloppy, and it's just a tough watch. It's like we used to get frustrated watching the Tigers when they're just chunking it out of bounds.
Yeah, it can look hard. Yeah, yep. All right, we'll talk to Chris Harrington about all this at the straight up 10 o'clock when we have Chris join us. About all of this. And we also will talk about the Memphis Tigers. Penny had things to say about the injuries last night in his radio show. He is talking again today. We got a lot to get into the next segment. Again, then Chris Harrington, then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. I'll remind you, though, if you are selling your home, and spring's a perfect time, put the house on the market because you got, this is when people who are, you know, disrupt their families during the year, but you can move over the summer. You can change school systems, whatever else. Perfect time to sell your house. Josh Hysaw is the person to call, 901-461-8147, and his team at Keller Williams Realty. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, lets you out of your contract at any time, risk-free. Josh, I met with him, and he's incredibly impressive. If you just take time to meet with him, I think you'll find out the same thing, 901-461-8147. Among other things, he will offer you an instant cash offer if that's the way you want to go, and not one of these low ball, hey, are you selling your house? I got, oh, you can sell it for half price. They're like, no. Plus, with Josh, he will let you have up to 4 months to get everything packed, figure out your next move, etc. And so that certainly simplifies it. It is Josh Hysaw, the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's Almaced.com.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. We'll revisit the Grizzlies with Chris straight up at 10 o'clock. Penny Hardaway is talking today at the Lori Walton Center, but he did do his radio show last night and had some things to say about the fallen, Jeffrey. And so I'll let you interpret what all of this means, okay? First, about the disrespect. Obviously, we don't need the chip. They need a chip. They need the championship, but the ship. They need the ship, but not the chip. They don't need the chip on the shoulder. We're going to press forward regardless, but the disrespect is still real. And the only way to kill it, is to win. So there you go. But here you go on the status of Tyrese Hunter and Dante Harris. Dante's ankle is still a little sore, but it's getting way better. Okay? With Tyrese, we'll see tomorrow on how we'll handle things with him. He's in a little bit more difficult situation.
So when I hear that, I have a little bit of optimism that Dante's going to play. And I have no optimism
that Tyrese is going to play. I have thought the chances are zero.
In fairness, though, that has nothing to do with what Penny said.
No, it has to do with looking at him.
Correct.
Come on, man. You never know. God works in mysterious ways.
It's Lent season.
I don't know. Is Lent big on? I got to ask my minister over there at Idlewild. I don't know if miracles are a big part of Lent.
I mean, it's the 40 days when technically Jesus went into the wilderness.
Right, but he wasn't by himself.
He was in isolation.
I don't think, so he wasn't like turning, he wasn't turning water into wine.
Mm-hmm, but God lives outside of time, so maybe it's not Lent for God.
So I don't have great hope. I have no hope that Tyrese Hunter will play. Dante Harris, the phrase was way better. Way better. Not a little better, not somewhat better. Phrase was way better. Still some soreness. Still some soreness. So let me get this exact quote again. Still a little sore, but it's getting way better. Here's the other question. So I have some optimism that he'll play or try to play anyway, right? Listening to Jason and John, I don't think I'm misinterpreting it. This is the way they put it. John in particular, I think I'm going to attribute this to John. If Dante Harris can play, he thinks the Tigers will win. If Dante Harris can't play, he thinks the Tigers will lose. I don't think that's certainly the sense that I got. I think he said that pretty much directly.
Because I talked to him after the show. I still think I talked him into, I don't think this is as bad of a matchup as Vegas is making it seem.
I am so influenced by what I saw Sunday when they didn't have either player and when they were dominant. And I saw there were three things that I saw that were just impressed the hell out of me, right? One, Dane Danger.
Yes.
He's just a different dude, man. Now, free throws, we'll see what all of that. But both ends, rebounding and then, he's a monster scoring inside, and I don't believe Colorado State can have an answer. I believe Florida might have answers, right?
Wasn't the question you were asking.
But I don't think does Colorado State have an answer for Dane Danger? And then PJ Haggerty's incredible because he can have a crappy first half or whatever, and you just look up and he's got 22 points and he's
winning basketball player.
It is amazing what an interesting basketball player he is, because he doesn't shoot threes. You know, he's a wing who does not shoot or make threes particularly.
The moment is not too big.
He's just, and then honestly, like, hell, the play that he made against Tulane, the defensive play that he made against Tulane, and that's not, like, I'll notice sometimes, it doesn't feel like he's the guy who's flinging himself on the floor after balls, because he actually does have to preserve his energy a little bit, right? So, but there in that moment, he made the winning play. He's just a winner, man. That dude is a winner. And Dane is unstoppable. And then the other thing that influenced me was Barack was really good. He was really good. He wasn't Tyrese Hunter good. He certainly wasn't Tyrese Hunter at his best good, but he was really good. Good defensively, brought the same kind of energy that you expect from him. It's sort of a manic, out-of-control energy sometimes, but the energy you expect and then the poise you don't expect, I thought he played with. I certainly don't expect him to be hitting threes, but he did start. He broke open the seal. He started the scoring with a three from the corner. Hits Nick Jourdain immediately. Penny called him a quote-unquote pure point guard after the game. And so you can get that kind of inspired performance once. Are you going to get it again? And I think that's where the presence of Dante Harris would mean a lot to me. It's not even just that, like, if you got the Baraka that you got Sunday, I don't know that you would need Dante Harris, but you may not. And so
I think you do offensively. The one concern that I had, like, because if I'm not trying to watch what the Tigers did on Sunday and think about it against UAB, I'm trying to think about it against
the
team. The Tigers,
UAB's not very good.
The Tigers were really unorganized early. Now, they cleaned it up in the second half, and that was...
Here's how they cleaned it up. They just threw the damn thing to Dane.
Correct.
Sometimes it wasn't even like they weren't feeding him in the post. They were just feeding him at the top of the key, and then he was toast, you know, cooking.
Do your thing.
That's pretty easy when he just takes that. I'm with you. I think it would be, and then Barack is not going to play all game anyway. He played 28 minutes, I think, the other game, and so you have minutes without him. And PJ Carter's not a point guard. He's just not. He's not. He'll hit some shots for you. He and Colby Rogers were both good. That's the other thing. Like, everyone was good. Musa was good in his role. Colby Rogers was good in his role. PJ Carter was good in his role. Like, everyone was good in their roles on Sunday.
The key phrase for me in what you just said is in his role. And guess what they have this year?
They all have roles.
Clearly defined roles.
They all have roles. So I don't know. I was, again, a little bit of a prisoner of the moment. I witnessed what I saw Sunday, and I think they can win this game without Tyrese and without Dante Harris. But it certainly would be helpful to have him. And then, you know, you go against a very talented but up and down Maryland team. If you happen to win that game Friday, you go up against presumably a talented but up and down Maryland team. You know, let's be honest. Part of the, it is too bad. Like, I was listening to GP's podcast, and it's just too bad that we've been thinking about Penny taking, you worked so hard to get this seed and to be in a position to go on a deep run in the tournament, and it was built around your two guards.
Yeah.
You know, and one of them's gone.
Well, and the one that has the most tournament experience.
And the one, vastly the most tournament experience, is gone. And so, it's too bad. I do think people, you know, partly because of Sunday, partly because you have, you know, two tremendous college basketball players leading the way, I still feel pretty optimistic about Colorado State. But we'll hear more. It'll be interesting. I don't expect Penny to say much more than what he said last night, because why? What's the advantage of saying it, right? What's the advantage of being clear on this?
I mean, the only thing is if they did get I think he did the MRI yesterday, didn't he? So if they did get the imaging back, and you know for sure,
you know he's
out.
It's interesting. One of the things I've heard people say that the selection committee didn't know about Tyrese Hunter. Well, that's just if they didn't know, it's on them. I knew. Everyone knew. Like, the game was on. He was there in a boot. I presume they kept showing him in the boot.
They did.
Yes. So if they didn't know, they're morons. They didn't know. No, they might not have known the final MRI results because they weren't done until yesterday. But if they didn't know that Tyrese Hunter wasn't hurt, it's because they didn't have the TV on.
There's also a difference. Also,
it's ridiculous.
There's a difference between being in a walking boot and being in a walking boot with crutches.
Yes, in a walking boot with crutches.
Also, you know what the truth is, though, Jeff? The top nine of the bracket was set on Friday.
Yeah. So, okay. That's enough of that. We'll have more on Penny later. So I did want to get to, we said it before, and anytime Mel's going to drop a mock draft. This is the, you know, we needed the post-combine mock draft. Now we have the post-combine, post-free agency mock draft. So we see this makes it even tastier, right? So let's just go through it right away. He's got the Titans taking Cam Ward. But the first sentence, we're still not 100% sure what the Titans will do. They could try to trade this pick to a QB needy team such as the Giants.
If you made me guess today, that's what happens.
Trades to a QB needy team such as the Giants.
Yes.
And I think, well, it depends what you think of Cam Ward. In the end, if you are the Titans and you think Cam Ward is a franchise quarterback, take Cam Ward. The end. Period. Right? You shouldn't trade with the Giants. The only reason you should do that with the Giants, if you don't think or have real questions, serious doubts about whether he's a franchise quarterback.
Yep.
And if you're the Giants, the only reason you're getting this is because those guys don't believe he's a franchise quarterback.
Yes, and the Giants annoyingly beat the Colts week 17. It's the maddest I've ever been after a win.
Cleveland Browns, Abdul Carter, they've kept Myles Garrett in-house and now adding Abdul Carter over Travis Hunter.
That's just part of the plan, Jeff, that sold Myles Garrett.
Yeah, exactly right. They got Kenny Pickett. They got Russell Wilson, maybe, at least in the mix for Russell Wilson. We'll see who plays quarterback for the Browns. That would leave for your New York Giants, and I'm sure you're hating this, Shedeur Sanders. I just don't believe it, honestly.
That's my thing is, like, I'm not a Shedeur hater. I do not think Shedeur in New York is a good fit.
Interesting, because a lot of mocks have him dropping in the 20s now.
Yeah.
So Giants, Shedeur Sanders, it would make sense in the sense that you've got an administration there that needs to save its job, and if you hit on a quarterback, you've saved your job.
Yes.
And so that would make
sense. Please, please, please sign Jameis. Don't sign Aaron Rodgers. Don't sign Russell Wilson. Sign Jameis.
So then you've got New England getting Travis Hunter, which would be perfect for them. They've already honestly fortified their defensive backfield. If Travis Hunter does become a Pat, I think it is more likely he is a wide receiver, primarily because they got nothing.
The Vrabel part of this is interesting, though.
That's true.
Because Vrabel, to me, is clearly establishing we want to build a team that's going to win 20-17.
Yeah, they added Milton Williams. They added Harold Landry III. They added Carlton Davis III. They added Robert Spillane.
Now, I will also say, while
all defense and free agency,
Vrabel is more defensive-minded. He did always have a big-time receiver when he was at Tennessee.
They do not have a receiver for Drake May. Here's the one that's interesting. The Raiders take Genty. That's not the one that's interesting, but still, Ashton Genty is interesting. And does seem to fit, to me. All of a sudden you got an offense with Geno, we've got Brock Bowers, with Jacoby Myers and Aaron Genty. Yeah, they'll put up some
Ashton,
points.
Yeah.
Ashton Genty. I'm sorry. Yes. So then you got,
and they're shortened games.
Then you've got the big surprise in this draft, though, in this mock draft, number 9, to the New Orleans Saints, Jackson Dart. Your thoughts?
I'd be happy for Jackson. I would be very surprised if this happened.
Very surprised that he goes to the Saints. Very surprised that he goes in the first round. Very surprised that he goes high in the first round.
The top 10. And, I mean, there are some fits with Kellen Moore. Like, Kellen does while Jackson didn't necessarily play in an air raid at Ole Miss, because Kiffin's offense is not really that, it's more like RPO and kind of spacing. Jackson's whole life was an air raid guy, and Kellen kind of comes from the same type tree, and I could see where Kellen likes, even if you kind of squint, Jackson actually kind of looks a little like Kellen more, and oftentimes when you're a coach, you like the type of player that was the type of player, and it's like Jackson's kind of a similar vein. He's a better runner and probably, you know, a more physical player than Kellen was, but it would make some sense. I would be very surprised if Jackson goes in the top 10. This feels like this was put here to get us talking.
You think so? You are a cynic, man.
Well, I just turned on ESPN, and that's
what they're talking about. Interestingly enough, the last pick in this first round, and it totally makes sense. It's just like, yeah, that's what they do. Eagles and Walter Nolan.
Yeah, like, sounds right.
A monster defensive lineman from the SEC.
Correct. I would also say, though, I don't know if he has enough red flags for the Eagles because, like, his red flags were on some bad A&N teams. He didn't play hard. But, like, this year, the guy was an absolute monster.
So, there you go. That is that. We didn't talk about the Bengals. Good for Bengals fans, by the way. You know, you're keeping both your receivers. You're paying them basically $70 million a year between Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And now they're saying you're going to keep your pass rusher, too. So we'll see. But in the end, if you're a fan, now it does mean they've neglected offensive defensive line. They're overpaying, but whatever. You're overpaying by $10 million, which is between them, right? Maybe? Between the two
receivers.
And
next year you probably won't be.
and that's one offensive lineman who you could have had to help protect Joe Burrow. So
I guarantee I know what they're drafting. What's Mel got him drafted to this one?
The AFC is scary.
Oh, no way. Shamar Stewart, defensive end, A&M.
Well, you knew they were going to draft something on the line of scrimmage.
Every pick this year for them should just have an L next to it.
Yeah. Other news, we got the pro day today over at the University of Memphis. As I said, we had Major League Baseball opening. Dodgers get
surprise
the win. Conan is going to host the Oscars again. He said, I want to hear Adrian Brody finish his speech. So that's why he's going to next year. Derek Stingley, the cornerback from the Texans, got a three-year, $90 million deal. That's the highest paid defensive back in the league. Ja'Marr Chase is the highest paid receiver in the league. Where did these dudes go to college?
Jeff, that would be the Louisiana State University.
Seems like they get some talent down there at the Louisiana State.
How much is Burrow making?
University.
And Justin got paid.
Yeah. Seems like you get paid there, you get paid to move on. The Orpheum has released their lineup for the coming season. Beautiful Noise. That's the Neil Diamond one.
Of course.
A Notebook the Musical. And Juliet, which is some Romeo and Juliet thing, but I think it's
a new take.
And Juliet, The Outsiders, The Sound of Music, Back to the Future, Six, and Beauty and the Beast. Oh, and Dion, instead of spring football games, he wants to practice against other college teams and then play in a competitive scrimmage, like NFL teams, whatever. You'll see them occasionally.
They go there for the week.
They'll go to whatever. You'll go down to Carolina, scrimmage, practice against the Panthers for a week, and then have a couple of scrimmage, whatever else. What do you think of that idea?
I actually really like this. This is where you should play the FCS games. Get rid of the FCS games during the year. Play the FCS game. Give them a nice check. Sell some tickets. They obviously don't have to be full price.
That's a good idea.
This is where you should play the
FCS. Give them some money.
Yeah.
They'd come to you.
Correct. And I would imagine participation in FCS spring football is better than participation in major college football.
Yeah, I don't hate that. It's not the end of the world. I don't mind that at all. All right, we got Chris Harrington coming up next. Then we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. After that, I do want to tell you that at Robert Irwin Jewelers, they are having this unbelievable sale at the South Haven store. It's a 6-hour, 60% off sale Saturday. 6 hours, for just 6 hours, 60% off everything in the showcase at the Robert Irwin store in South Haven. It's at the South Lake Center in South Haven, Mississippi. It starts at 10. It ends at 4. And for those 6 hours, 60% off everything. This isn't like, we're going to hide the good stuff, or it's not going to, we're going to mark it up to mark it down. This is 60% off everything in the showcase, including engagement rings, designer jewelry, necklaces, earrings, name brand watches, more than 1,000 items to choose from. Robert Irwin Jewelers, 6 hours, 60% off Saturday in South Haven. For complete details, go to rijewelers.com. Chris Harrington, when we return, Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.